It is no secret what God can do. And when I found Daniel in our office as an employee, I was surprised. He was working there in the warehouse, the fulfillment. And after a while, I think after a number of months, I had to have a crusade in Papua New Guinea, I think it was. And my personal assistant couldn't travel with me. So I was looking around, who could travel with me as my assistant? And then I picked Daniel. That's where I came to know him much closer. And I could see the hand of God on him. You know, when you see fire, you recognize it as fire. And when you see fire, you don't just recognize it, you also feel it. You can't have fire and be cold. That would be the wrong fire. And I realized the hand of God is on him. And I was looking for a successor. I hadn't been very successful before in finding a successor. And so I thought, oh, well, I've got enough successors from our fire conferences. There are tens of thousands who received the fire of the Holy Spirit. But then suddenly I realized the Lord has sent Daniel Kolenda for that position. I gave him 40%. Then I gave him 60%, and I gave him 80%. But just in my heart, I didn't say anything. And then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, the anointed must be appointed. And so I handed the ministry over to Daniel. He is doing fantastic, the same power, the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit, and the same results. So I praise the Lord for that, and you will hear him a little later, and I'm sure you are going to be mightily blessed. He is now, I think, in his early 30s, and he's at my side now for about 10 years. God bless you. I pray that tonight the Holy Spirit fire may fall like never before. Amen. Amen. To take the gospel to our generation. To take the gospel to our generation. With me here tonight are three of my grandchildren. I'm very proud of that. They all love Jesus. One is Christopher over there. Just Christopher, stand up and give a wave. That is Christopher, my grandson, and Bianca and Natasha. The two girls, once just turn around and give a wave. Praise the Lord. Amen. I and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a great honor for me and a joy and a blessing to be here at this conference. Thank you very much, Mike, for the invitation. My heart is burning, and I believe the Lord is going to do something fantastic here. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh, I still want to tell you something about my books. I don't know, some of you may already have this book called Living a Life of Fire. Amen. I've got some wonderful announcement to make. It's the first time I mention it in any meeting. This book in Audible, read or narrated by myself, of today is available on audible.com. So if you place an order there, you will still have it today. And it will inspire your faith. And I believe the Lord is going to do also for you what he has done for Daniel Kolenda and many, many others. Living a Life on Fire. Here it is. And I brought a number of books there, but also Raised from the Dead, the miracle that brings promise to America. This is an amazing testimony. It's on the level of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You will be blessed and amazed and see what God can do. And if you get the book, you can also get the a DVD documentary. There were cameras there that picked it up. This is absolutely, what shall I say, watertight, absolutely correct. So, Raised from the Dead book and also DVD. And there are other books like Evangelism by Fire and so on for those who have a heart for evangelism. I'm an evangelist and I don't apologize for that. So I'm going to speak to you about the Holy Spirit, about the Great Commission. And I pray that not only the faraway countries may be saved, but America shall be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say some basic things. Just some basic things at first. Mark chapter 16, first of all, verse 11. That was when Jesus ascended to heaven. In verse 11, just before the ascension, we read, "And when they had heard that he was alive," the disciples, "they had been seen by her, they did not believe." Wow, they did not believe. Verse 13, "And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe." Number 2, verse 14, the same phrase appears. Number 3, they did not believe. These were unbelieving believers. They did not believe. But to me, that they did not believe, I can still understand. But I find it difficult to understand that Jesus said a few verses later to these unbelieving believers, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I said, how is that possible? Here it says 3 times in a row, they did not believe. Jesus turns around to them and says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people." If I had been there, maybe I would have sneaked to Jesus, would have pulled him by his garment, and I would have whispered into his ear, "Lord Jesus, don't you know that these are unbelieving believers? That the moment you turn your back, they start fighting with each other? Don't you know that this is an impossible task you have given him?" I tell you what, I believe Jesus would have done. Jesus would have turned around to me and he would have said, "Shut up, bonky." Because I know something that you don't know yet. They shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and they shall be my witnesses. And now, read this. In verse 15, he gives the Great Commission to these unbelieving believers. And then in verse 20, we read, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs and wonders," of course. Amen. This is amazing. Something happened between verse 14 and verse 20. Something something dramatic, something fantastic happened, must have happened. And I tell you what it is. It is Acts chapter 2. It is Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach and began to speak in new tongues, in other languages that they had not learned, but the Holy Spirit had enabled them to speak. Isn't that wonderful? Now, here it says, and they went out. And they went out. Well, this speaks to me of initiative. They took the initiative. They didn't just sit and pray. They went out. I vowed to God that I don't want to be an anointed couch potato. Just sitting and praying. Yet God expects us to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. This is how the first disciples had understood the Great Commission. Not just celebration, but proclamation of the gospel. Say amen. I spoke to somebody and said, what about the Great Commission? What about preaching the gospel? He said, oh, brother, I'm waiting on God. Gee. You know, that's the Old Testament concept, waiting on God. The New Testament is not waiting. We are not waiting for God. God is waiting for us. He says, go. Go. When the traffic light turns green, you don't need a written permission from the Secretary of Transportation to cross the intersection. Why not? Because green means go. And it is still go. It is still green. We don't need to sit and wait. Say amen. Hallelujah. The traffic light is green. It's green. We have no excuse. It's green. It is green.